Okay, test. Yeah, I hear that. Good. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, David and Gloria and all who are here. It's a beautiful evening, huh? I was saying to somebody this morning, this week, I was looking out our front window, and we usually have one little rabbit, and he likes our lawn, and he's there. But I looked out this particular day, and there were three of them out there. So we've got a real population explosion. But anyway, it is kind of fun just to watch some of God's creation. We've got a little robin that stands around and in our tree. And I think maybe, I don't know what this is. Maybe I'm just getting old and sentimental. But I kind of like seeing God's creation right in front of me and just being able to enjoy it. So we've got a beautiful evening to do just that. Well, I was thinking of the things that have been mentioned, and we need to pray for Bob, and it's early in the morning then that he has his surgery. So let's pray for Bob, for again, and for Janice, Jordan. Is there anything about Jordan that we should know to pray about? Yeah. So, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's so many things, right? Just so many. As David just said, day by day, but some of those days are harder than other days. And one of the things that God is getting, again, David said this earlier, but we are a family, and it's so important for us to pray for one another and to uphold one another, love one another, care about one another. And there's a lot of things I'm sure that haven't been mentioned. But it's a wonderful thing to be in God's family, and may the Lord use us to care for each other. So let's just begin in prayer. Father, we tonight want to uphold Jordan as he's this young man. We see little Dominic this morning, and what a beautiful little boy, and Angela, a wife who loves deeply her husband, and we pray for them. And we pray for Jordan. Just he must, probably even right now, he feels sick. And we just pray you'll comfort him and help him. And we pray really for an amazing work in his life in this situation with cancer. We also pray for encouragement for their hearts in the midst of all of this. What a young couple. What a hard, hard thing to go through. We think of sometimes as we get older, we're not quite so surprised. But when we're so young, we uphold them. Help us continue to remember them in our prayers. We want to pray for Bob early in the morning as he has this surgery. We pray that all would go well, that you would really bless him and help him recover from this. May the surgery, may everything be done just as is needed. We pray for Janice, our dear sister. We know this third round has to be concerning. We just thank you for her, but we pray your protection and blessing of our sister and real help. And Father, we want to praise you, pray for you for Nancy's report. What a wonderful thing. And I remember Nancy said in the past, we want to pray for the lady that she gave the kidney to. We pray for her salvation, Father, and your work in her life. And we want to thank you for Gary's son making such good recovery and making such change in his life. And so we praise you for that. Father, that all the other unspoken things, the things that burden our hearts, I pray for Jordan's wife, and Jordan Webb's wife, and the loss of her mother. And we know, I think the wake is tomorrow and the funeral's later. Just really comfort this family. Help them. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that there's a spiritual realm, and you continue to work in our hearts. You want to mature us. You want us to keep growing. We pray that that will be reality for those of us here, for our whole assembly. God, help us be healthy in the Lord, strong in the Lord, maturing in the Lord. Help us be a people that move forward in the midst of a very antagonistic and growing antagonistic culture. May we continue to walk close to you. May we be faithful to you. And may we finish well when it's time for us to come home. We just pray you'll help each of us in this realm. So just bless our time, guide us in our thoughts. In Christ's name, amen. I was thinking, you know, a lot of times practical or little simple things jump into mind. Maybe it's because of why I'm simple. But anyway, I was saying, one time I had to put a new door handle on the door that goes from our house to our garage. And so I went out, you know, to Canadian Tire, and I looked at the ones, and, you try to evaluate. Well, this looked like a good one. I thought this would be kind of a moderate price, but it looked like a decent one, so I bought this thing. Well, I came back and put it on, and this handle, ask the clerk if you ever buy one of these. The handle, you can lock it, and you can go out, and it opens. But then, when you get into the garage, if you forgot to unlock it, Marty! And you know she wears hearing aids. It's a lost cause sometimes, right? If she doesn't have them in, right? So I'm on the outside looking in this garage. And you know what? What is so sad? This shows you where I'm at. I cannot remember where I put the key. I cannot remember where that key to that door is. So anytime I go out in the garage, my first thought is this thing unlocked? Is this thing unlocked? I'm still looking for that key. One day, my little grandson and I, Levi, I said, Levi, let's go around the garage. And, you know, he can get down and under. And I said, let's go out there and see if we can find this key. He was a pretty good trooper, but we never found the key. Oh, someday we'll have a party if I can ever find that key, right? Let me ask this question. We all know how important keys are, you know. You lost your key to get in your car. You lost your key to get in the house. Keys are critical. What is the key to wisdom? We talked about wisdom this morning, God's wisdom. What is the key that unlocks the door into wisdom? Well, one thing we can say, it's important. It's important to have that key. I mean, it's kind of like me getting locked in the garage. Unless Marty comes to the door, I'm locked out. So what is the key? We really need to know that. Now let's think about this. I want you to go to, now tonight I'm going to go to a variety of passages. You might want maybe make a note, or we'll go to the ones that seem to resonate the most. But I want to begin at Proverbs 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10. And this Proverbs really has so much, as I'm sure you're aware, to say about wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now let me just read that phrase again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, in Proverbs, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 2. Go to Proverbs 2, or close by. And I want us to look at verse 4. Proverbs 2, verse 4. Now, it's talking about wisdom. And it says this. If you seek her, seek wisdom, as silver. We talked some about this morning. And search for her as hidden treasures. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the key that unlocks wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Now, we might, obviously, the first question as we ask is, what are we talking about, this fear, the fear of the Lord? What does that really mean, to fear the Lord? I'm going to read a passage, and I'll read this to you. I'll try to read it slowly. I mean, if you want to turn there, you may, but Deuteronomy 10:17. I want to read this, and there's a word in it I want to draw out because it's related to the word for fear. Deuteronomy 10:17, talking about the Lord, it says, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God." The awesome God. Now, what I want to note is this. The word, the Hebrew word that we get for fear, is the same root word that we have for awesome. Awesome. Now, I think, isn't it amazing how in our culture we've kind of diluted big words? You know, we can say, oh, that's an awesome, you know, that's an awesome cake. Well, if you love chocolate, it probably is, right? But anyway, we use awesome in a way that kind of minimizes the actual word. Awesome is, if we say, let's say you're in the mountains, and you get out of your car. You know how there's a little drive off. Hopefully, you go to one of those places, drive off, and then you can't quite see, but you walk, and then all of a sudden you see this valley. It just opens up, and you never saw it until then. And it just opens up, and you're just in awe. And of course, you're in awe the peaks and the valley, and you're just in awe. But you're also in awe in this sense too. If you step over that ledge. You really are going to be awed, right? There's a sense of fear there because you're overwhelmed. I remember one time, and I'm sure I've shared this story, but we lived not on the water in Nova Scotia, but not that far from the water. There was, a little countryside. It was a little rented house. It had actually been an old barn when it was started, so we kind of converted it into a house, and it was a great place to be at that point in time in history for our kids. But anyway, one night I just heard roar and roar and roar. What I realized the next day, it was the tail end of a hurricane that had come up from the south on the Atlantic. And then, I don't know if it was that day or the next day, I just drove out along the coastline to what's called Lawrencetown Beach. And it's a long beach. Lawrencetown's a long beach. It's one of my favorite places to go when I'm back there. But that storm, the tail of that hurricane, was so powerful that it had taken huge boulders and it not only thrown them up on the shoreline, but there was a protection there. It had thrown those boulders over that protective zone and thrown them onto the road. There was a blacktop road that was on the other side of that protection, and then the ocean was here. The ocean, that storm had been so powerful. It threw huge boulders, and obviously they had to get out and clear those boulders, and all kinds of stuff had been brought up from the ocean. That's, you're just in awe of the power. The power was awesome. And so we are to have an awe, a fear, a deep reverence for God. He is awesome in the truest sense of that word. And so God says, if you want to know the key that unlocks the door into my house of wisdom, the key is the fear of the Lord. To come reverently in awe of who He is. How awesome and great He is. So this is so critical for us to be wise. Therefore, to fear God is to be in awe of Him. Now, Charles Swindoll, who a lot of times puts things very practically and more simply, he says, of this, which I'm not sure it totally grasps the thought, but he does say it in a way that helps us think. Taking God seriously, is to be in awe, to fear the Lord. Now, we live in a culture that does not fear the Lord, right? Now the Bible told us this was reality, and it's becoming more prevalent, I think, globally, but let's just go to Romans 3:18 for just a moment. And this just reminds us of what we know, but God told us this was reality, and so we need not be surprised, but we read in Romans 3:18, "There is no fear of God before their eyes. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Isn't that so true in the world in which we live? No fear of God, no awe of God. It's been a while back. We always have these cases that keep coming up, and a lot of them are in the States, but there's several different, I don't know how many, but atheistic groups, and they're always taking a run, especially at Christmas time. You see these runs, you know, anything, if you've got a little shepherd boy, you can't have that, right, because of the atheist. But anyway, there was, in northern Florida, this is several years back, in northern Florida, they had a monument of Ten Commandments. It was on public property. And so this atheist organization from New Jersey, why do they need to deal with Florida? But anyway, they came down and were trying to sue the city, the little community, sue the city in Florida to get rid of those Ten Commandments. We can't have that. We don't want that. We don't want a sign saying, thou shalt not kill. Why would we want that, right? You think, you know what's happening in the States right now? You think, I think we need a few more signs like that. But anyway, you think, So they come down and they tried to sue them and they didn't get. But anyway, what they did get was they couldn't get rid of the Ten Commandments. But what they did, they put their own plaque up, their own statue, or I think it was a bench of some kind. But in defiance, no respect, no fear of God. Can you imagine when they stand before the Lord and the subject of that bench comes up? Can you imagine? I bet there'll be a different tone then. But in this season, there's no fear of God. And it's amazing how we go along, and this is something we as Christians need. Even we as Christians can get kind of complacent about God. Kind of too casual. Now, God loves us. And that's huge and warm, and it gives us strength for the day. But there's a balance of knowing God loves us and being in awe of God. We shouldn't lose that sense of His majesty. Now, let's just think. Why should we fear the Lord? Well, there's a number of reasons, obviously, but I just want to deal with several of them. First, God is all-powerful. God is all. Let's go to Psalm 33. This is a beautiful passage, Psalm 33. And we read these words. God is all powerful and seen in his creation. Verse 6, Psalm 33, 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Did anybody see the comets? They talked about these comets. I didn't see any. Somebody said I saw on. Online, they were kind of disappointed. I don't know. But anyway, it's amazing. If we could get out, let's say we were going to take a camping trip, and we're going to go way out, and there was no light pollution, wouldn't it be awesome just to sit back and just look at the sky that God has made? God actually put that there, right? He created the heavens. He created the heavens. And then, and again, just for time's sake, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host, he gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Verse 8, Psalm 33, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For, this is the reason, for he spoke and it was done. He spoke and it was done. Now, I was just reviewing, and I'm not sure if we'll use this, but I was thinking about using this DVD on Darwin, Charles Darwin, as something we might do on a Wednesday night. But it's interesting, you know, if you really think about evolution, and when Charles Darwin started, He obviously wasn't there, but when he finished, it obviously was basically an attack on God, right? And there's a whole process of how he came about on that. But if we want to deny God, no wonder our culture denies creation. You can't have a God that we bow down to if we all came from salamanders, right? If we're just little chimpanzees and we just happen to lose our tail. I mean, just the process. See, it's an attempt by man who does not fear God to do away with God. But if we believe, when we look at the world around us, we think, like I say, my three little bunnies, right? If I believe God made those little bunnies and the ancestors of those little bunnies, and I look at the tree, I love that tree in our front yard because it shades our house. I love that tree. Don't cut down my tree, okay? But anyway, I look at this and I think, God made that. God made that. And David loves the water and loves the boat on the water. God made that water. God is the creator of the world, of the universe. We should bow before him. We should reverence him. He's a creator. You know, I think even we fall into it. We look at a beautiful day and think, well, what a beautiful day. God made the beautiful day, right? God made the day. Now, God not only created the world, he controls the world. Now, I was thinking about this, and if you notice, let's go to Exodus 14. Exodus 14, how God controls things. And when we read here, now this is the story, and you know the Egyptians were hot after the Israelites. And then we read in Exodus 14:27. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The sea returned, and this is the end of the story in a sense. But this is when they're crossing the water. And the Egyptians are going to, if they can get there, they're going to wring the necks of the Israelites, right? That's their goal. Take them out. Now notice verse 29, because you know the story. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. I like the way it goes on to state, the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So wouldn't that have been an awesome thing? Just think this is our little path, right? And of course, God parts the water, and the land's dry. You know, you're not going through muck. He dries it out. And I'm thinking about mom. Here you got little Junior, right? And you got the water here, and it got to be fish in there, right? And little Jesus says, and she says, take your hand off that fish, you know? Don't play around. We're trying to get through here, right? You're just goofing off, right? Get him through. And so you're going through this, and can't you, I was trying to think of this afternoon. Don't you imagine everything was just kind of, is one of those moments you can't really believe it's happening? It's just like, what? You know, you're just kind of in a daze. I mean, you've been thinking, we're going to be killed. The Egyptians are going to crush us. They're going to take us out. Mom's thinking about little baby. You know, what are they going to do? And then God opens up the water, and they're going through. And then, and of course, as the story goes, then as they're on the other side, and it's, I can't imagine there wasn't disbelief that this has just happened. Just like, what? Where? What? And then, as you know, the water comes back. And one of the ways they knew absolutely sure this has happened because the Egyptians had been killed. They had been destroyed. Now, notice what the passage says. Let's don't miss the point of the passage. Verse 31, when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord. They feared the Lord. They were in awe of the Lord. Now just read this story. You know this story. This is another one, but it just uses our terminology. This is Jonah. And of course, we all know the story of Jonah. You learn it in Sunday school, right? Sometimes we miss the point, but anyway, we got the story, right? Anyway, verse 15. So they picked up Jonah. Remember, he finally confessed up. They threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. So all of a sudden, you just think of that hurricane I was talking about, and the sea is crashing and crashing. They think they're all going to die. And all of a sudden, when Jonah's body hits the water, the rage was over. The wave stopped. And then notice what it said. Now, these are men. These are, I think, courageous people are sailors, right? Sailors who go out in the ocean They're courageous men. And then it says, then the men feared the Lord greatly. They feared the Lord greatly. They knew something miraculous had just happened. And they knew, and Jonah had said, you know, basically God's behind this. They feared the Lord greatly. These are some reasons we should fear the Lord. Another one, obviously he's powerful, but he's also holy. Revelation 15:4. And I'll read this for you. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. And I was thinking in Isaiah, remember, and holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And when Isaiah saw that, what did he say? Remember, he said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. See, he thought, whoa. And of course, then the Lord intervened and put coal in his mouth a symbol of his cleansing. But he here's Isaiah. He says, oh, God is holy. And of course, that's one of the themes in heaven, right? Holy, holy, holy. So when we think of God, we think, you know, he's powerful, he's holy. And it should cause us to not only adore him, but be in awe of him. I think another one, and this is one I think we often forget, but we should fear the Lord because we will be accountable to the Lord. Be accountable. I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes for a moment, 12. Ecclesiastes 12, and this is we don't read Ecclesiastes a lot, but this is an amazing summary of this book. Ecclesiastes 12, the last chapter in this book, and it says this: the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God, and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. So it applies to each one of us, each one of us. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil. Good or evil. Now, I think, again, I refer to something Swindoll said, but I think he says it in a way that is helpful. In the final analysis, we will do business with God. Count on it. It makes a lot of sense to me that the one who made us has every right to hold us accountable. We aren't free to run wild and wink in God's direction, thinking that no matter what, the big teddy bear in the sky will yawn, pat us on the head and say, everything's going to be just fine. And of course, isn't that what our culture, some Christians are saying that, our professing Christians. Everything's going to be just fine. No, it doesn't work that way. Our ragged edge journey is headed for a sudden stop. And all alone, standing face to face with God, in that epic moment, we will give an account of the life we've lived. That is sobering. Sobering. Now, we don't have to live trembling all the time, but we need to be aware that God is, he is sovereign, and we will stand before him. We are loved by him. His attributes always are perfectly balanced. He is loving, but he is also holy and just. You know, I think, you know, even some Christians, you know, they kind of mock that, oh, you know, God's going to judge. And of course, in a pluralistic worldview, which more and more church people are holding, you know, that everybody's going to get to heaven, basically. You know, you go your way, I'll go my way. There's kind of no truth, you know. Well, your truth is yours, mine is mine. You know, if you think about that, and of course I know there's some differences in specific views, but aren't you glad there's a just God who will deal with evil? I was thinking in Turkey, did you see this? I think it happened. Did it happen yesterday? Where they were having a wedding, and ISIS, and I didn't read all the details. I just saw a little clip. I didn't read the article. But I think they set up a kid with a bomb and brought him into this. These adults set up a little kid to come in and blow up and kill at least 50 people, kill 50 people and plus how many others were injured. Do you think that person should get a free pass? Aren't you glad God is just? It just broke my heart. Here you're at a wedding celebration. And a couple, I mean, just think, a couple. You know, there has to be a hope for the future, a joy in the moment. And these evil, let's call it what it is, these evil people send in a little kid with a bomb and blows up people. God is just. And he'll deal with that. But also God in his justice, now we stand as believers, we stand in the righteousness of Christ. But God will evaluate us to see how much he can reward us. He wants to reward his kids. He wants to. But we need to be wise in how we live life. It's not a circus. We can have a lot of joy, and God wants us to have joy, but he doesn't want us to be careless and frivolous. So think of these words. Now that's in the Old Testament. Think of these words, and this is a passage I'm sure you're aware of. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And I know this is heavy, but it's really important for us because we can't be superficial. We can't be flippant toward our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear, that includes each one of us, but we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now this is referring to Christians. This is not the judgment seat, this is not the great white throne for unbelievers. This is the judgment seat for Christians, the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed or given back for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, verse 11, therefore knowing the fear of the Lord. One scholar puts it this way. The fear excited by the thought of standing before the judgment seat of Christ and having one's whole life exposed and judged. That is what we're talking about. When I think, okay, I'm going to answer to the Lord, so I need to honor the Lord in my life. You know, life is so short. It's so short. We want to make the most of it while we're here, right? Let's make the most of it while we're here. Because one day we're going to stand before the Lord. Now, what are the benefits? It sounds a little overwhelming, but let's just talk about some of the benefits of fearing the Lord, of unlocking the door. Now, the first one, obviously, is wisdom. And that's obviously what we talked about this morning. We mentioned it tonight. This is Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Like we said this morning, to live skillfully, to walk through life wisely. That's what wisdom is all about, to skillfully live life according to God's insight, through the Word, so that we can walk wisely through the world. And how we need this wisdom. And I think of our brother Andrew at the back here. Boy, how much wisdom you need in those council meetings, right, and all that. We need to pray for this guy, You know, but think of all of us. We go through life and we have decisions, you know, whether it's raising the kids or a judgment, some decision at work, what to do as we get older, how to help other people, what to do with the neighbor situation. All those things. It takes wisdom. God, we need wisdom. But as we fear the Lord, we take him seriously, we take his word seriously, and what happens? We get wisdom. We have wisdom. We can, we make better choices. Because what are the principles? I was talking to one of the young gals this morning, and she has a decision to make, and it's kind of come on real fast. And so the issue, if you're going to look at these decisions, and sometimes they just catch us off guard, and you say, well, what are the biblical principles that plug into making the best choice, the best decision? And so we say, God, I take you seriously. I know your path is the best path. And I go to your word and I look for the principles that guide me to make a wise choice. We all need that, right? Every day. God, give me wisdom to make great choices. Because I want to get the best out of this life and the next as well. And so we get wisdom. But there's so many other things we get. Notice that we also enjoy God's goodness. This is in Psalm 31:19. All right, I see I'm going to have to speed up a little bit. How great, this is Psalm 31:19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. Isn't that a great statement? Listen to it again. Psalm 31:19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. It's kind of, you know, when you think of the grandkids coming over, and of course you kind of know, you know, what they like. You can't miss it. They keep telling you, right? And so you go to the store, and you go in the store, and you think, oh, I know what they want. I know the kind of lollipop they want, right? So we got lollipops in the freezer. We got lollipops down there. And we got some other stuff, and they're always ripping my cereal off. They come and get Grandpa's cereal, right? I know they like that cereal. And so, you know, what do? You love your grandkids, and so you buy stuff, hopefully that has mom approval. Sometimes doesn't, sometimes does. But anyway, you store it up. You get stuff that you know they like. You know what? God is storing up stuff that we like, that's good for us. Not only for time, but for eternity. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Those who fear the Lord are going to enjoy His best, His goodness. Now let's think of, there's so many things. We also get to enjoy His love. Notice this passage. And the sense of God's very best for us. Psalms 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens, Psalms 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. Isn't that wonderful? Now let me read it one more time. I know that I've got so many verses here, but Psalms 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. I mean, that's pretty high. So great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. Ah, God's, we can enjoy God's unfailing love, as some versions put it. God's unfailing love. There's just so many things we could say. Let's look at another one. God's help. God gives us help. Psalms 115, verse 11. You who fear the Lord. Psalms 115, verse 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You know, I think God has been so kind, so kind. I think of the times, and I think over the years, you know, times driving long runs. I'm sure you all understand this. You know, you drive and your head's bob, you know, and all of a sudden you wake up. You just kind of, you know, and there was a truck, right? Or some moment like that. And you look back in the rearview mirror of your life and you say, oh, God has helped me so many times. He's protected me, you know, in that situation. When I went to Toronto, I don't know how many times, he's overdone. He's got a lot of work he has to do when I go to Toronto and all that traffic, right? How many ways God helps us and protects us? In ways, probably, I don't know if God will have movies in heaven, but maybe He'll show us movies of the way He protected us we didn't even know. He helps us. God helps those who fear Him, those who take Him seriously. And we could say, oh, there's so many other wonderful things He does for those who fear Him. I just want to talk about two ways this is to impact our lives. Obviously, those included, but let's go to Job 1:8. Job 1:8. This is one of the first ways I want to just highlight and kind of leave you with two last areas where this fear the Lord impacts our lives, but what it will cause us to do in very practical things. Job 1:8. I think this is a very interesting passage when we think. I always find this amazing that God pointed this out to the evil one. I find that, just listen, just remember these words as I read it. The Lord said to Satan, Satan's going along, and the Lord says, hey, I want to show you something. I want to bring something to your attention. He says this, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now, if I'm Job, I'm thinking, Lord, let's not do this. Let's don't go here. I don't want any attention from the evil one. But notice what the Lord says. For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man. And get these two phrases, fearing God and turning away from evil. Fearing God and turning away from evil. If we fear the Lord, we really take him seriously, we turn away. Now, only in his strength, but we, in his strength, we can turn away from evil. Why? Because we take God seriously. We know one day we're going to have to answer to him. And so when we see the temptations, we see the possibilities, we see the sin options, we say, no, I'm not going to go there. And we turn if we fear the Lord. When we don't take him seriously, when we don't, well, you know, God's not paying attention. He's not watching. He doesn't care. It's no big deal. We don't turn away. And so what do we end up doing? We end up going down the road that brings disaster because we don't turn away from evil, because we don't fear the Lord. And God, in his love, I mean, sin is always destructive. And I'll give you this, and then I want to go to one other area. This is Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I think that captions our culture, by the way. We are wise in our own eyes. But it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And God will bless us. God will bless us. God is not a killjoy, but he knows sin destroys joy. And he's wanting us to turn away from it so we can know his perfect joy. Now, one last area. We'll not only turn away from sin, but as we fear the Lord, we'll walk according to God's word. Now, Psalms 111, verse 10. We read this. The fear of the Lord, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Did you get that? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. If we really take God seriously, in God's strength we obey his word. We follow his commands. Now, this is another passage, and this is Psalm 128, verse 1, the Song of Ascents. It says, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. How blessed. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. When we celebrate the breaking of bread on Sunday mornings, we just think, you know, the word that I don't think we could get away from it is the word love. I mean, how could you go through a service like that and not talk about God's love? God sent his son. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. We just think, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. But the same God who loves us is the awesome one. He's the awesome. And we are to take him seriously. Take him seriously because he's also the just one. He's the holy one. He's the perfect one. And so we come, we can draw near to him out of his love, but still we have hearts of reverence. And we fear him. We're in awe of him. Reverential fear. Not to run away from him, but to run to him. But when we come to him in our hearts, we bow before him because he's amazing. He's awesome. And as we learn who he is and we come and we fear him, it opens the door. It opens the door to wisdom so that we can live life at its best. At its best. Because we found the key and we turned the key. And we're enjoying life because we know he's sovereign. And awesome. And we bow it before him. Let's pray. Lord of heaven, help us not run away from you, but run to you, but also bow before you. May we be a people who take you seriously, who reverentially fear you as we bow before you. We pray that with that tone and by your Spirit, we will walk wisely through life. In Jesus' precious, awesome name, amen.